Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Mildred Tassoni, and we have Jason Marcus on the phone. Good afternoon, Jason.
Hi, Mildred.
Jason's with Continental Home Loans. I'm with Keller Williams Realty, and this is Welcome to the Neighborhood. This is Real Estate Coast to Coast. So, we're going to see if Gail and Kerry can dial in. And if not, but Jason's going to start off with some changes in the loans, FHA loans. Why don't you start off, Jason?
Thank you, Mildred. One of the many issues that are going on out there is, in my world anyway, on the banking side of it, is the reserve fund for the FHA. Now, for you guys that don't know what the FHA is, it's a product that it's basically a glorified insurance company for what I guess you would consider a little bit more of high-risk loans, people with not so perfect credit, not that much money, still being able to purchase a house for 3.5% down, incorporating 6% into the mortgage for closing costs. So you literally can purchase a house for pretty low amount of money. Now, the Federal Reserve basically monitors the FHA, and there's a specific level of by which you need reserve money in the FHA. One of the things that the product does, besides collecting a monthly mortgage insurance, it also collects and finances it into a prospective buyer's mortgage, what they call an upfront mortgage insurance, right now sitting at 1.75% of the loan amount. Now, that money gets pooled, and for those loans that default, the insurance company, the FHA, steps in and basically handles the mortgage payments until that property is sold. Banks love the FHA because obviously that allows us to be a little bit more protected. The changes up and coming in this, though, which has been it's getting pushed, is to raise the down payment level from 3.5% to 5% down, which should also open up a little bit more in their reserve side of the fence, and to raise the upfront mortgage insurance from 1.75 to possibly as much as 3%. So those are changes we're going to have to keep an eye on, because right now, after your 100% financing and your stated incomes and all those products were eliminated due to the crisis that they caused, a lot of people are flooding, especially if you're putting down less than 10% to FHA, where for a long time, FHA really wasn't much of a player between the years of, let's just say, somewhere around our early 2000s to as recently as probably 2007. And now they've come back with a vengeance, but they're trying, and the government's trying, to make sure that this product isn't put in place to replace the subprime now lack of market. So they're probably going to get stricter. I've seen, as I've progressed utilizing the FHA, that it's gotten more strict in regards to the documentation and making sure that you're dotting all your I's and crossing all your T's. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the changes that are going to come in regards to that.
Do you have any ballpark time frame for these changes? Have you gotten any sense of that?
It seems like over the last week we've started getting something popped up on CNN Money, which is always for folks out there that don't look at CNN Money. It's probably a decent idea to check that out from time to time. They usually have a lot of good information, one of which today they posted that our Fed chairman is very confident that all these trillions of dollars they pumped into the economy is going to have a positive return for our federal government, which should help out the reserve. But Just as an example, a lot of good information on CNN Money, but we've gotten it from a lot of different sources that HUD is really pushing to get these changes implemented. They really are concerned with being under where they feel comfortable with the reserve mark, and if the economy continues to head in a negative direction, and as more people have now putting themselves into FHA loans, if a large default rate from these loans wind up happening, then the FHA themselves feel that they could put themselves in jeopardy. Most of us, based on their guidelines and their history, they really haven't changed all that drastically in the 25-plus years that this program's existed. So with that being said, they have a pretty decent cross-section in regards to what to work with in economies, you know, ranging all the way back from the 80s through the 90s into present time. So this is not the first time that the housing market has, you know, taken a bath. So I think that with these slight changes to the FHA that they do possibly make, I think they know what they're doing. But it really is going to make it tougher for people to buy houses when it seems like the government's sole focus was to try to make it easier for people. And when you hear something like this, and we've gotten it now from multiple different sources that this is kind of where they're starting to move towards, it kind of once again makes me scratch my head where it's like, I don't understand why you're going to try to help by doing your incentives in regards to these tax credits and just to go back and alter the product, which is going to make it most successful to get these tax credits.
Okay. So you'll keep us up to date on that as soon as, and we can all start kind of looking out. I saw something that mentioned there's to get the tax credits, or all the is the paperwork in place if somebody's closed for them to get the tax credit if they've after you know, the second round of tax credit?
You want to hear the scariest thing, Mildred, and I've been coming across this more and more. The real estate industry, the mortgage industry, we are so well versed on the criteria of the tax credit, what it entails, who can qualify for it. But the scariest thing that I've been coming across is the lack of knowledge that CPAs have about this. And that's where I get myself a little bit concerned, where I've heard a number of different stories where a prospective client calls up a CPA or an accountant and they don't even know what the client's talking about. That's when you have to be nervous. So for those folks out there that are planning on buying, okay, I always, as we've spoken before, defer questions because it's not my area of expertise in the accounting side of things. Anytime we're talking about tax credits or what's tax deductible or the best means in writing certain things off, I'm always going to advise somebody talk to their accountant or CPA. Now, when it comes down to you being in the purchase market and if you want to take full advantage of it, I would almost do a preliminary phone call to my accountant just to have that discussion, not only to put him on the same page as your lender, which is always the best idea. Anytime you're getting any sort of advice on multiple facets in regards to your finances, you want the people advising you to be on the same page. But more so than ever now, I've been advising clients to have a preliminary conversation with their accountants and CPAs just to make sure that they're prepared for how their client's going to wind up filing, because nothing would be worse than finding a house, purchasing a house, getting in time, having your tax preparer prepare your tax returns, forgetting to include the tax credit.
Yeah, I mean, there's been, and that's so, especially with the first time or home buyers, as well as the people who have been homeowners before, that's the main, one of the reasons that's helping them move their decisions along. So,
right.
Now, because I'll have to I'll pull that up, and we'll just make sure that we know exactly what there was some form. So we'll find out what the form is that they're supposed to file, just as a reference, or the information on it. I have another question. I know that there's this, the purchase tax credit. Then there's there are some home improvement tax credits as far as windows and things like that. Do you know anything about those, how they can be added in? Can they be added in if, you know, someone decides to do that? Are they exclusive, or can you get the first-time home buyer tax credit and get some of the energy saving tax credits as well?
I'm almost positive to say that you don't need to be a first-time home buyer to get those types of tax credits. If you go in and make your house obviously more energy efficient, and you know, there's certain things that you can do. What we should probably do, Mildred, is probably put together a list to post to give people ideas on exactly. We know obviously the basics, but there's probably more in-depth details that we may have overlooked that you can probably still get credit for. I work with a pretty awesome CPA, so I'll try to pick his brain over the next week or so and try to see what he has to say about that stuff. There's so many changes that happens in tax law. A lot of that profession seems to get a little bit complacent, because the average person, obviously, there's no checks and balances to know if an accountant or a CPA missed something. And the better the CPA, the more they spend their time trying to, figure out these tax changes and how it's going to help their prospective client. But it seems like maybe there is, and I'm just not aware of it, some sort of cheat sheet which could kind of help us, because I know I would probably be more successful on my sales side if I could take it a little bit more than the preliminary steps that I do take in explaining the tax ramifications in regards to making your house more energy efficient, applying for a first time, or now an upgrade or the other tax credit, which involves people that have owned for 5 of the last 8 years, so a move-up buyer tax credit, I guess that would be considered, or how, like, the energy efficient side of things and what can be done and how much of a tax credit you get on there. And it would be really, really powerful information. I'm almost surprised that some or even a bunch of different CPAs, I think it would be a real successful thing for them to drone up more business into almost doing what we do, be it blog talk or just blogging. And maybe it does, because I haven't spent all that much time looking for it. But it just seems like a pretty awesome idea to go out there and try to put as much information out there for people in regards to the tax side of things.
Okay, and that's something we can do.
Maybe we should try to do that in a follow-up show.
Let's get a CPA on here and pick
his brain a little bit.
Yeah. Someone else has joined us.
It's Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Hey.
I didn't remember. Hi, how are you?
Good. How are
Carrie
you doing?
Carrie Hartnett?
Yeah.
Yep. So we were just chatting about, Jason was talking about the new FHA guidelines, potential guidelines, and we were talking some about the tax credits. And one thing I want to mention before you go, Carrie, is I know we have first-time home buyer programs for Nassau County, that there's $25,000 grants if you do a counseling program. There are some in Suffolk, Queens, and Staten Island as well that we know about. And another thing that we found once we researched that, there's also companies that match money for purchasing. Jason, I know Computer Associates had money that if they had were getting a loan that they would match a certain, and I'm not sure. Do you remember any of the criteria for that, or can you explain it a little better? You know what I'm talking about?
Was that question to me?
Yeah. Yeah, remember, because the New York State had, for a brief period of time...
The Sony May tax
right.
credit. And then they did away with it. Suffolk and Nassau both had their specific programs. I'm not even sure if... I know for a fact that Suffolk ran out of money. I'm not sure if Nassau is still giving out those grants.
Yeah, it renews every year. But the point that I wanted was that there's company match. Some larger companies
right.
match funds. So that's another thing. I've got my list here on what we're going to follow up with. Gail, is that you?
Somebody
came on. I'm not sure who. So, but we'll see. Carrie, so let's hear from your side of the country. How are you doing? And can you update us on some of? I know you've got women in real estate activities going. And
mm-hmm.
did you have anything left that you wanted to talk about? Maybe from the conference you went to, or.
Not much more to report. I think there's a lot of probably focus on this first-time buyer's tax credit and the expansion and some of the guidelines. Is just, you know, I was actually looking through, I got an email yesterday regarding some of the, they've increased the income limits on that for the first-time home buyer's tax credit. I was trying to find some of that stuff. You know, I don't have a ton of new things to report from the conference. I know a lot of what, I think when I spoke last time, a lot of what we do is geared towards chapter excellence and keeping our chapter mm-hmm. Viable, if you will. I did mm-hmm. have a Portland Metropolitan Association of Realtors luncheon today where I was informally, I guess, installed as one of their state directors for our local association. It was actually really interesting to learn about Portland Metropolitan Association of Realtors. We are, I think, out of all the local associations in the country, which I think was close to 1,475 local associations throughout the U.S., we are mm-hmm. The number 31 as far as largest associations, which mm-hmm. Put us in the top 2% of what they, I guess, what they would consider a mega, mm-hmm. I don't want to say chapter, but a mega board.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of interesting.
And you're right in Portland, right? You're right
yep.
in Portland?
Yep, I live in Multnomah County, which is that encompasses all of Portland. There's a couple other counties that our association actually services. So we're like a, mm-hmm. the tri-county area. But mm-hmm. I am in Portland. And we're apparently getting ready to celebrate our 100th. Next year will be our 100-year anniversary as an association. One of the
wow.
largest, one of the largest and one of the oldest. And mm-hmm. That's, you know, I just learned some really great stuff as far as our local association, because I've been more involved with the Women's Council of Realtors and just now getting involved with I'm a member of the Portland Metro Association of Realtors, but I've never paid attention really before.
Yeah.
I pay my dues.
Well, there's so much. Yeah,
yeah,
there's so much. Yeah. How have you found, I've been doing open houses the past couple weekends, and it's been pretty busy, and most people that are coming through are first-time home buyers. Are you finding that out there, too?
You know, I need to get out and do some more open houses. A lot of my listings are short sales right now, and so
mm-hmm.
Most of them are occupied by tenants, and so I don't have the opportunity to do open houses, which is unfortunate because,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a great place to meet new people. But I'm... Our our company is very willing to, a lot of the brokers in our office are very willing to share their listings and let me hold them open because it only makes them look good, you know.
Right, right.
And so I'm trying to get more involved in doing the open houses. I don't mind doing open houses. I guess I haven't had any listings in areas where they attract a lot of traffic.
I know.
So that I'm pretty specific about which open houses I'll hold open. But mm-hmm. I will say before I left for the conference, I held one of my short sale listings open that happened to be vacant, and I probably had about 30 people through, which was great. But it's in a great area, and price range was about $425, so it was a little bit higher than most first time homes. But some people were first time mm-hmm. home buyers. You know, there's still people in that. And I know that sounds low for New York, but in Portland, it's actually a pretty good range. So
yeah. How do you market your short sales then? Are you doing, do you do print? Do you do mostly internet?
I don't do a lot of print. We have what's called an eco flyer, or what do they call it? A perma flyer is what it's called. It's you know, flyers, for two reasons I don't like flyers, because number one, the only people that take them are the neighbors. And you never get a call on them. They just, they're, you know, and mm-hmm. you're constantly having to replenish them. And number two, we're a little, as New York is, I think, pretty green out here in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And so what this eco flyer is a permanent flyer. It gets nailed to the post, and you know, that people can't take it, but they can certainly take the information down or give a call right there and find out the information mm-hmm. that they need. And so that's about the only print that I do. As far as the short sales, my short sales have been really successful on the internet, where, you know, I stick them into the one website, the Keller Williams listing system. It gets syndicated out to all the different websites like Zillow or mm-hmm. Cyber Homes and other syndicated websites, Realtor.com. And I've been very successful in getting leads that way. Mm-hmm. out of the I probably have 7 of them right now. Most of the leads are coming off of the website.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. We're using, Jason's, sponsored us using eProperties. Uh-huh. And so we're using it so that, you can text to your mm-hmm. phone, and you get all the information there, and then we've got an individual website for each listing
mm-hmm.
so
yeah.
that then they can go right from their phone to the website, or then they have it, and when they get back to their
right
PC,
there.
Then it, you know, they can do it. And so
is that drawing results? Because I've actually thought about doing that. I know that I've looked at a couple different companies, and I just haven't gone that direction yet.
Yeah, actually it is. And on our signs, like our open house signs, we've done a couple open houses where there is a lot of traffic,
mm-hmm.
and so that we're putting the text information right on the sign.
Yeah.
So that anybody driving by can just text.
Yeah.
And then right there, and they've got.
I think that's a good as far as how technology is going, text is very popular because it's quick and you don't have to, and
right.
it's kind of anonymous still. So
right, and it's green. It's green because
mm-hmm.
you're not
green.
Worrying about a flyer. They can
yeah.
just text to their phone. Done. You know.
Yeah.
And
then you
the
have their.
Has,
then and then you can
the
get
wall.
Their information and call them back. Is that how that works?
Right. Right. And they can email you. And I've gotten one from a website that it pushes, again, it pushes the information out. I forget the name of the website. I have to look it up. But I've got someone from the website that's, you know, I'm following up with. So,
mm-hmm.
but I like that. I think it's a good way to let people have more information than just a flyer, because it's
yeah.
got the school information there and the walk-to score and
right.
all the information. So it really is it's working well, I think. And it's a way that, like we say, it's a little more green. Okay, we've got about 5 minutes. What do you see? Do you see being busy out in Portland over the holidays? Do you think...
You know, this should be a time that I'm really hitting it hard, which I am, but I'm also doing my planning for 2010.
Right.
And so I do need to generate things to make it happen. That's my plan, because I want to continue being busy at the beginning of 2010, you know, and what we do today
mm-hmm.
definitely results in what we get tomorrow. So,
mm-hmm.
but I've been doing a lot of planning, you know, for my own business and for my board with Women's Council of Realtors being the incoming president. It's been kind of consuming, and I've been
mm-hmm.
enjoying the holidays. But I do, you know, I have a lot of things that I'm kind of pulling together, strategically partnering with different people in my office to be able to market different services, such as, you know, commercial real estate that I've
mm-hmm.
Partnered with someone who strictly does commercial, partnering with someone who's working mostly with buyers, partnering with someone who does foreclosures, where they go over to the courthouse and pick up properties at the auction, and you know, just being able to really market my services. And so when it comes down to it, you know, I do different things to continue generating things, but I'm really looking forward to 2010 and thinking it's going to be really
well, I think with the time frame, I think the time frame with the tax credits, I think we're all in agreement that we don't think they'll be extended this time.
I don't
agree.
No, I don't.
I think that
you know, things are chugging along, and that now is definitely the opportunity. I'm trying to put together a couple, not even necessarily first-time homebuyer seminars, but just, you know, purchasing home seminars, just because so many people could really utilize this. And I think that,
mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people don't even know what it's all about. So
right.
The
so
only
kind of
reason
getting...
why I disagree with what you guys just said about it not getting extended is the underlying fact that the government is finishing buying their mortgage-backed securities, spending
mm-hmm.
over that $1.2 trillion, which by springtime they are going to be done doing. When that happens,
mm-hmm.
that's going to instantaneously cause rates to rise. And if the Fed chairman also comes out and he starts to raise the prime interest rate, even if it's at the latter part of the year, I think they may decide that they still need some sort of incentive to keep things rolling as to not crush things, because I think you guys are going to see all of a sudden out of nowhere a rising rate environment, because it's been so artificially deflated.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be the only reason why
right.
I would say it may get extended.
It's possible. It's just, you know, it's hard to say what they'll do. I know in the springtime is usually when we start seeing things kind of heat up again anyway, so it's hard to say. I kind of wish they would have only done, you know, an extension for a few months to get people going in this time of the year, and then maybe do it again, you know, kind of like a graduated step, so it would have given some people some real fire under the tail. But, you know, I'm glad that they did what they did.
And with the interest rates, and that's one thing that we need to emphasize, which we can talk about more next week, Jason, with interest rates, where we're at, and get some examples of the difference in payments, because I think people that's kind of a hard concept to get your mind around.
Yeah.
So
that would be a great segment for next week, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So any other comments, Jason? Anything coming up that you might think is relevant aside from what you've already spoken about?
Obviously, I'm pretty sure you would know, and I would guess that Carrie wouldn't, but the triple play starts this week, which is basically most of the Northeast, the tri-state area, gets together and goes down to, I guess, learn/party in Atlantic City. So that's kind of...
I don't know about that.
That's what's kind of taking precedence this week. Things
mm-hmm.
are probably going to be a little bit slow up here in regards to that, just because
mm-hmm.
there's so much activity that goes on down there. They have it at the convention center, a gazillion booths and all that fun stuff. So that's where we'll be this particular week, and Continental's throwing a couple courtesy parties down there. So rocking and rolling in AC. That's what's going on this week.
Well, have
okay,
fun.
Well, that'll be fun. Yeah, yeah, really. So, okay, well, we'll figure out next when we're going to do our next show. We're still trying to figure, coordinate everybody. And then what we can do also is record some clips if, you know, we can't make it. But thank you very much, Carrie Hartnett and Jason Marcus. This is Mildred Tassone, Real Estate Coast to Coast. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Toolbars in her goddamn Explorer, just like you. You don't need any of this. I mean, 90% of her screen was toolbar.
But there's other positions also about XP Hallmark.
Oh, right now I'm going through and taking all the stuff off the internet. I mean, she has megabytes worth of all the subcaching and all the stuff. So it's all of it. I took everything Google related off. Okay? We can sit down and we can discuss, and I will install stuff if you want. But you can't just go installing shit whenever the fuck you want. Right? Okay. Now, if you don't want, why do you not want to use Internet Explorer? When did you become the enemy of Microsoft? The thing that's been making the pages living for your entire adult life?
Because some things wouldn't work. Even Microsoft stuff wouldn't work under Microsoft. They told me I had to use
Microsoft told you to use someone else's browser for their stuff.
There were certain things in the small business they said it all worked. That's how come it
started.
That's
fine. It doesn't matter to you. I can cut this little on there. You can use this little all you want. But if I fuck my Explorer up again, I'm going to kill you. Because I don't want you to do it.
So you
I don't want you to Chrome. I don't want Google. If I see Google Earth on there again, I'll kill you. Google Earth, you know what that is? It's a 90 megabyte file that you can go to the internet anytime you want and get. There's no reason to put that on your computer.
Jennifer has filed something.